by the end of Saturday, it was, we need to take out the young. We need to take out the lefties.
Yep. I'm having a hard time hitting 5-foot putts.
Did I see that you hit a ball so hard you broke a driver head?
That is correct. It may be the only ball I squared up all day.
What's your handicap?
Well, we don't have to talk about that right now.
I was a member at a private course like the last 2 years, but I've never been as like into golf. Is that a humble brag, guy?
That is such a humble brag.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of the Lefties Lounge podcast. We are back. It is British Open week. I have a bit of party girl voice. I was at a softball tournament this week. But yeah, lots going on. We missed last week, John. Glad to have you in here. We went to media day and we were going to put a pod up late that week, but we decided against it because we wanted to be a little bit more relevant to the Connecticut Open. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. We have the British Open preview. We got
Open, huh?
That's what I've been calling it from, like, I don't know why, but I don't know. It feels right.
Kind of like it. It does feel right.
The British Open, we have the match. We had, I mean, there's the
ACC.
Just a lot. The ACC, the Scottish Open, the fifth major in the John Deere Classic. there's just a ton going on, and once again the old Lefties Lounge just didn't have time to watch golf again.
I know, dude, right?
But we caught up. We got a lot to talk about, and basically, you haven't talked about your round yet because it was 2 weeks ago, right?
And yeah, it was last Monday.
Why don't we just get into that? Because I had a decent round for the red, white, and blue tournament. That's how far back we're going.
I know, right?
But there's some pretty big news in your game, and I'd love to hear about it.
Yeah, no, last week felt like I feel like a majority of corporate America was just out of the office. Like, it's just a classic, like, that's a vacation week. We're kind of like, this is the part of the calendar where not a lot gets done.
Right.
So sneaking out for a couple of rounds, got out to Stowe Acres Country Club in, I believe it's like, I honestly don't even know. I went and picked Lenore up. So he lives south of the city. And then we went out west. So I think it's like a little east of Worcester. I really don't even know where it is. I'm guessing it's Stowe, Mass. This place, so it's 36 holes. There's a north and a south course. And you could tell that the bones of this place were so sick. Like, so apparently there's a new ownership group, and the old ownership group, the place was like legit. Like, you could tell it was set up to be a championship course. Tee boxes, like it looked super long. But the place was beautiful. And I think a theme with like a lot of courses right now, with the amount of rain that we've been getting all over the freaking, I guess, honestly, like all over the country, is just wet and furry. A lot of places,
ridiculous.
A lot of places can't even mow. It's just been so wet.
Dude, I mow on the side. If people don't know that, I have a couple lawns on the side, and it has been miserable.
Brutal.
It's misting right now.
I know. It's ridiculous. It's actually, dude, it's so bad. I thought this was pretty funny that somebody, I had multiple people this week, like, finish their emails to me with "stay dry," which is kind of hilarious. Every time I read that, like, I was like, that's hilarious that we're at the point right now where it's so, you know, like, I get stay warm, or like, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Enjoy the weekend, something like, you know, nice. Literally stay dry. So we did, we caught a dry day Monday, went out to Stowe Acres, and yeah, dude, kind of put it all together for a round. Went out in 36. So I had three birdies, three bogeys on the front, birdied both par fives and birdied a par three on the front, and hit eight greens, was just completely vibing. Kind of knew.
Oh, I didn't know about the greens.
Yeah, dude, hit eight greens on the front. Yeah.
That's helpful.
Yeah. Very helpful. Dude, 2-3 putts too. Like, it wasn't, it was weird. Like, it was very, it was very clinical, but the three putts, like, So went out in 36, made the turn. So we played with two randos, made the turn, and this dude joined up with us.
Okay.
I hope I get his name right, because we told him about the pod. I think his name was Ben. I'm pretty sure, actually, Dan exchanged numbers with him too.
Okay.
The dude shot 4 under on the back nine. He chipped in for eagle on the second hole we played and birdie the next hole. So we went back to back chipping. So I'm like, yeah. And I just didn't, I mean, I played good on the back, but I made 3 bogeys, had a couple like sloppy mistakes. I know it's so long ago now, dude. Like, I wish I had the scorecard in front of me. It's not that long ago. It's less than 2 weeks ago, but
Feels like forever.
It feels like with how much we've done in like the last week and a half.
It's been a lot.
It's been so much. Even just like trying to think back at the round. So here's what I did. Actually, I'll do this. So yeah, shot 75, par 72. Dropped the cap. We finally did it before the year's over. Broke 8, sub 8. 7-9. Yeah,
now you gotta keep it there.
I know, right? Actually, what's surprising is like, I will say this, there is like, I'm not doing this on purpose, but there is such a way, I guess I shouldn't say that, like handicap management is definitely like a thing, especially for somebody like me who doesn't have a home course. Okay. Handicap management in the sense of like playing, like, you know, like kind of picking and choosing, like, you know, you see how your scores come off. Like, I know right now I think I have like 3 or 4 rounds in a row that aren't going to hurt me. You know, mm-hmm. I have 4 scores coming off that aren't going to affect the cap and whatever. So it's like, this 75 that I had, a 78 was coming off. So I kind of like knew I had to play well, and I kind of had that mindset going into it. So I knew I wanted to play like a longer course, a higher course rating. That's what I'm talking about. Like with the management is like,
yeah.
The whole, you know, the handicap, it's all like a game, you know, it's a kind of like a system.
Now, so I was going to say loophole, but it's not a loophole. It's just trying to find your strengths really in the course.
Yeah.
Like what suits your game with the best reward kind of thing.
Well, and just like, you know, there's a lot of courses out there that's like, you know, par 72, but if the track's easy from the whites and it's only like 5,700 yards and the rating's like 67, you got to go in order to drop your cap to have like a decent differential. Like you got to shoot 72 there. Like, you know what I mean? Like you got to shoot par in order to really drop it. So like, for example, that 75 at that par 72, I think was like a 4 or 5 differential. So kind of just like, you know, making sure that you're playing the right tees, right? Like you don't want to play, like the difference between the blues and the whites on some of these ratings, we're talking just about handicap, is like, you know, sometimes it's like 3-4 strokes, 4-5 strokes,
right?
Which is a big deal. You know, that's the thing, is like, I love it and I hate it. Cause like now I'm always looking at the cap and I'm always looking at the, you know, the US or the CSGA thing. And
yeah,
like,
I guess I never really thought about that way, because I play Candlewood a lot.
Right.
So I know what I have to go and shoot basically.
Right.
Like if I go and shoot a low 80, I know chances are my cap's going to go low. And if I shoot high, hopefully it doesn't move.
Yeah. So a perfect example of that is like when me and Dan are talking about going to play courses, like he brought up a couple slop holes right near the city, and I was like, I can't do that this round. Like, I just can't. I didn't say it like that, but yeah. I was like, I need to play like at least what I think is like a decent track.
Right.
But yeah, dude, we're
75,
dropping.
Bro. That's no joke.
Yeah.
So what's your lowest ever in your life?
Right there.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you did it.
Yeah, dude. It was an anticlimactic 75. I will say actually on 18, now I'm remembering a little more. Had another 2-putt situation. Like I needed a 2-putt to make par. I think it was a par 5. I think we finished on a par 5. Left it like 6 feet short and had to make like a 6-footer. But like, talk about like a nervy 6-footer, because I couldn't. It would have killed me to shoot 76 again after.
So like, here, are you getting so good that 75 was just like, you were like, God damn, that could have been a par.
Yeah,
like
I hate it.
Like you're getting to that level.
No, I I wouldn't say. I think the way you worded it was a little wrong. I wouldn't say I'm getting that good.
Okay.
I think that like,
are you getting that addicted?
No, I don't even know.
Dude, like, what is it? What is it?
I don't think it's that, like, it's not that good, because like, it's all relative, right? But
I guess so.
I don't know.
Okay. Are you getting,
I wish, I'll say this. No, I wish I was way more excited.
Okay.
I wish I was way more fired up about it.
I think I have it. Are you a lot more confident in your game?
Yes.
Where that 75, you knew you could have shot a 72 or something like
that's
that.
That's the problem, right? And
that's
like
what it is. That's how
cliche
to word that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I hate it, because like, I hate that. And I know that I shouldn't be the mindset, and I shouldn't be thinking like that. But but it's so hard to not, you know what I mean? Especially like in it.
I get it.
But so what I did was this, I took a little step back. I wrote and I tried to like think about it. I was like, all right, obviously made some pretty big strides this year already, right? It's like 11-7 down to what, 7-9 or whatever.
Yeah.
And I was
like, pretty big drop.
I wanted to write down what are the biggest things. So I wrote down what the five biggest changes I've made.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if anybody's going to find this interesting, but
it's possible.
Number one, finding the center of the putter face. This was, and all of this, like obviously is a, it's kind of like an ecosystem around Coach Pete, right? It's like, what was the first thing I did when we got there was get on that SAM system and like find the center of the club face and realize that as I was set up with the ball aligned with the putter line on the Scotty with the ball, like in the middle of the ball, I was not hitting the middle of the club face. I was hitting like, I was the toe, not right? hitting. Yeah, I was super toey.
I think we were both pretty toey.
So just toe-y moving the ball there, that's number one. And that I think has been easily the biggest thing is just confidence with the putter.
I can attest to that 1,000% because the reason why I've been where I have been this year is because of putting. And it's not it's not just because of that putter, although I will give a lot of credit to the sick putter. Because I was feeling pretty good with that spider too.
Right.
Once you find the center of the club, it makes it a lot easier. So
yeah, that's facts. Yeah. Number two, tempo, using tempo as my only swing thought. So like big thing for me has been like the pre-shot routine. I've obviously, you know, preached that a bunch, but once I commit to like seeing the shot, pick the shot, all that thing, the only thing that I'm thinking in my head when I'm over the golf ball is tempo. That's it. Just literally, I'm just saying tempo, tempo, tempo. And it's still hard as hell to like keep a good tempo, right? Like I'm still quick all the time, but that was my biggest fault. Like, I mean, you'd be the first to attest, like everything was pull right, pull right, pull right.
I'm actually living that right now.
Yeah. It's so funny that you're literally
living it.
Number three is this one has been a big one for me over like the last month and a half or so, is going through the pre-shot routine, but after picking a club is not thinking or like paying zero attention to any hazards or like penalties or penalty areas.
Just getting them out of your mind.
Just like not like once you see a shot, wherever it is, like not even paying any mind. Like I don't
just
like,
trusting your shot.
That's it. Just so kind of almost like tunnel vision. Like obviously you're taking all of that into account when you're choosing a club and everything of like where you want to hit the ball. But once you kind of see that shot, that's it. That's all I'm thinking about. And then the last one is just middle of the greens. Everything nice. I'm thinking about is just middle of the green.
That's a good five, man. And I think, you know, that says a lot about both of us because those are a lot of the things that I've been doing. Mm-hmm. Really, the only difference is I'm not thinking tempo over the ball. I'm still on the nail.
Nail.
And I probably should be thinking a little bit more about tempo because if I hit it left, If somebody had a gun to my head and said, hit it left, I don't even know if I could do it right now.
I don't think you could.
I don't think it's possible.
I have not seen you hit a ball in the last three rounds we played together left.
Three? I mean, all of Shawnee. So that was seven
rounds. Oh, my God. You're right. I wasn't even thinking of Shawnee.
Yeah. Just an incredible amount of right pulls. And when we get into Darien, I mean, we're going to talk about that in a separate pod, but we'll give a little sneak peek about that today.
Yeah.
There was a couple good shots in there and I found something at the end, which I think, I really started to dial in there for a little bit. There was a couple shots that I was like, okay, all right.
Yeah.
You can do this.
Yep.
But yeah, that's a really good five things. I like that a lot.
So how about you? You want to go into the red, white, and blue a little bit, or you want to go into Darien?
Well, I'll tell a little bit just about it was disappointing. It was a disappointing 81. For the red, white, and blue. I shot really well. I started off with a birdie from the blues.
Was it shocking? You start on one?
Yeah, you start on one and then you just pick your thing. So I think we went blue, white, whatever we did, but I was one under for a little while.
Ooh.
And then I bogeyed. And I was even for a little while. I ended up shooting a 38 on the front, but it was a lot of the red tees.
We're on the front.
We're on the front. So I kind of, I lost one ball on 14 or old 14. The first one over the bridge there.
Yep.
Took out a 4-iron. Just trying to, I was at that point, I would think I was still even, shanked one right into the trees. Ended up bogeying to get back to one over, I believe. But I struggled with a couple right misses there, which was, you know, I was feeling really good, putting really well, drained a couple long putts, which was nice. Then we get to the back and I kept it going for a little while, but I could feel it starting to slip away. Like I could just feel it.
Just swing wise, like just and no
not
control.
Not so much swing related. It was my focus just was like, and the last three holes I played 5 over.
Ooh.
I went double bogey, double.
Oh
yeah. Bad. Just bad.
Yeah.
I mean, it just left a horrible, and I finished at 81. So,
oh my God.
70s were in the grasp. I just wanted to break 80. Like I would have felt 100% better breaking 80. And really, I mean, I could have.
Well, without that double on the left,
I could have smashed it.
Oh, right.
I could have smashed it. You know, if I just parred those, it would have been a nice, nice round, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah. So the focus, that's the whole, I mean, golf's hard. Golf is just a hard game, and
golf's easy when it's easy.
Golf's easy when it's easy, man. That's going to be our first merch one day when we start doing that. Golf's easy when it's easy. And it's a lot of times it's not that easy.
It ain't easy.
So yeah, disappointing, but we're going out there for a 2-man best ball on Sunday, which I'm super excited about.
Nice. Get
to play my own ball and attack Candlewood from the white tees. And my partner's been playing pretty solid too. So
who's that?
Brian Hamilton, the rules official of the Masters Committee.
Sub 17 cap. He's down to 16.8.
He's been shooting a lot in the 80s.
He's kind of dropping a little bit.
He's basically he's shooting in the 80s unless I come. And then he shoots, you know, 103 or whatever he did.
Right.
He had one of the worst red, white, and blue tournaments. So
no.
I haven't played with these. This is a funny story quick before we get into a little bit of the Darien thing. I hadn't played with them in like 2 months. I hadn't played Candlewood in 2 months. And the red, white, and blue tournament is like a big tournament at Candlewood and everybody's excited about it. Saw Brett the night before. He went home early. Like saw everybody the night before. I forget what we did. I think it was just like an impromptu little party that I had.
I feel like that's a theme with you is a get together before an event, like yeah, before yeah. a round, before it's, yeah.
It's just nice, you know.
Yeah.
So yeah. Oh yeah, it was. My cousin was in town. Brett's sister was in town.
Oh, right. And you had a decent shindig, right?
It was a decent shindig.
Turned into something.
My buddy Rick was over that I hadn't seen in like 3 years. It turned in. Hammy's mom was there. I mean, it was legit. So we were out there. We had a speed walking competition late night. It got wild. But anyways, back to the story. I show up.
Clip that.
Yeah. I show up on Sunday and I do my normal routine. It was so nice. I got to the range, I hit half a small bucket, putt a little bit, and we're waiting around, and I see Dave start texting Brett, because usually when it gets that late, you know, you gotta
call him. You get a little worried.
No sign of Brett. Just no sign. Call him, no pickup, just no show.
So complete? Brett's
not complete. He met us. I think he called us on the third or fourth hole and said we'll see you on 10.
Oh my God.
And then Hammy, our tee time was at 7:04 and Hammy was there, I believe, at 7:03. So just everybody was just late.
Yeah.
And Hammy had been bragging how he was shooting in the 80s all the time. And I'm pretty sure he didn't break 100.
Oh no.
Hitting six from the red, white, and blue. I mean, yeah. It was I could be wrong about that, but he might have, but it was a high 90. If anything, Dave did not shoot that well. He had to take his wife's car because he couldn't start his own.
Oh my God.
So it was just a mess. It was just a good welcome back to the league. But yeah, that's it. I thought that was just a funny.
That's so classic. From some people are like, I don't know what the hell they're. That's
they have
very,
no idea what I'm talking about.
It's yeah. extremely on brand for each one of those yes. characters.
Absolutely.
Some CT Master characters, but yeah.
So yeah, we'll get into last week. So we didn't have a pod because we thought we were going to be able to do. We were going to media day for the Connecticut Open, which is in a week now, right? I believe July 26th through the 28th.
Yeah, that's right.
So yeah, we're going to, we talked to Sam, the director of communications.
Yep. CSGA.
Yep. Of the CSGA. And we're going to drop it, I think on the next week on Thursday.
22nd, I think.
22nd. Yeah. Right before. So it was a really cool experience and we're going to talk a lot about it. In the intro, but we did three interviews. We interviewed the head pro, the past champion, and then Pete Ballow, who is just a top pro in the Northeast in the Met section. And just
recently played at Kiowa in the PGA Championship. He
just played in the PGA Championship. So it was overwhelming. Unfortunately, Frank couldn't, just like tonight, he couldn't be there. So it kind of put us in a tizzy because we're not the best, computer guys, I guess.
Techies. Yeah. The tech boys, the IT yeah. kids.
I mean, you can call that us now because we did it.
Dude.
And I can't wait for everybody to hear these interviews because they were solid.
Dude, so good.
The Lefties Lounge was on point and the boys we interviewed were on point too. It was.
And biggest thing, we figured out the microphone actually works. Unlike yes. the, yes. the audio is so good. Like the audio is so good, which yeah, I wish that could have happened before the,
for the Shawnee,
yeah, for Shawnee, but we at least know we can do it now.
Yes, exactly. So now, I mean, our FTFs are going to be probably,
we're an FTF pod now.
We might be, this might be the last Zoom. We might just meet up
halfway at some hotel somewhere.
Yeah. But yeah, super fun time at Darien. Like I said, we're not going to get too much into it. We only got to play seven holes, but I've never been more happy leaving a course just being rained out. I mean,
right,
we got to
right.
see so many pros. The practice facility, lunch was great. I mean, they had swordfish with like, I mean, a salad bar, and like the amenities were just ridiculous. The hospitality was amazing.
The Country Club of Darien.
The Country Club of Darien is top notch.
Pure. Just pure.
Just absolutely pure. We have to get back down there.
I know. Oh my God.
Yeah. I
what a tease, but you're right. It was funny. Like afterwards, like I think there were a lot of nerves going into it.
Just
like the setup alone. I mean, we met at my house an hour beforehand and just like
yeah, hour before we had to
like,
leave.
We had no idea if mm-hmm. this, we figured it out though.
Yeah.
And it was,
yeah, I mean, I can't
it was
wait.
Like, it was our 100th event, you know?
Yeah. Like we said, the only thing we didn't do, that we could get blamed for was tip the caddy.
Yeah, dude, did not expect the caddy thing. We actually, that worked out really well in our favor.
It did. If we didn't get rained out, we probably would have figured we would have had to Venmo that guy or something. But
yeah,
they got a ton of money from the CSGA for going out there and walking seven holes. But yeah, super cool. I don't want to talk too much about it because we're going to drop that bonus episode on the 22nd, like we yep. said. So what's next, dude?
I think from here we legit just go. I think we just jump around. Jump around.
And yeah, and I mean the final stuff we're gonna do is
we'll get into the British, open, but let's yeah. So we obviously have the British. We just have so much to catch up on. Let's start here. I want to start here because this is somebody we have not talked enough about. But mm-hmm. I don't know if you've seen this, but we got a lefty that's kind of surging right now. Do you know who I'm talking about? In the last three tournaments, he's finished top eight or better. He's 27 year older from Florida State.
Are you talking about Hank?
Hank Lebioda. Dude.
Hank Lebioda. I did not know that he
T5,
was surging like that.
T5, T4, and T8 in his last three events. Short game has been ridiculous.
Also, yeah, dude, his visor game with that little hangover that he's got.
He's got a little flip.
Oh, boy.
He's got a little flip.
You can pull it off, but old Hank.
I know, right?
What a great name, too.
Dude, Hank Lebioda. It is a great name. It would be something to see him kind of keep this form. And I mean, he's not playing this weekend.
You know, it'd be something else if we could figure out how to get him on the podcast right now.
Yeah, right. Right now, like figure it out, like right now, like
yeah, like
right
in,
now,
like in the next couple weeks.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm gonna figure that out.
All right, yeah, why don't we'll put that project on your plate.
I'm gonna do my magic.
All right,
we'll see you in a couple weeks.
Yeah,
Hank, if you're listening, give me a shout.
gosh, let's go all the way back to last Tuesday then. So yeah, that was the only thing. I just wanted to give Lebioda a shout out.
Yeah, hell yeah.
The match. Did you catch any of the match?
I recorded it and then I watched the highlights and I immediately deleted it.
No interest?
I had really no interest in it.
Yeah.
I don't know. Aaron Rodgers really is just, he didn't do it for me.
He didn't tickle your fancy?
He didn't really tickle my fancy. His hair. He just, I don't know, something about him. Maybe because I'm a Niners fan. I don't know.
Yeah, right.
I don't know. But yeah, I saw the coolest thing that I saw from there was that Phil made all those putts in 30 seconds.
Oh, my God.
That was electric.
Insane.
Like, that was
was
unreal. And I think we should try that on my mat.
Right?
Or like somewhere. Well,
no, I think you need a cup. You definitely need a cup.
I guess you do.
It's got to fall into a cup.
I guess so, yeah.
And then you need two dudes freaking working
working their magic.
The Chinese fire drill. Just like, dude, that was a machine. That was insane. Do you know how far it was? Was it 10? Was it like 8?
I think it was like 10 or 10 12 feet. Yeah, something like that.
I think he missed one. I think it was in 30 seconds. I think he made like almost 15.
Yeah, 150,000. Each one was worth 10 grand.
Oh, my God. I think it was 15 for 16.
Which is crazy.
Crazy.
Yeah, I honestly feel... I feel like that the feeder was slow.
It was on the feeder.
I'm nominating myself to be a feeder.
As the feeder.
Like, I feel like I could just pick out a point and just be perfect with it. Like, I really do. So all we need is you can putt and we'll have Frank get the hole.
You're the type of guy that blames the home run derby pitcher for being too slow on the delivery from last night.
Hey, now that it's timed, it makes sense.
I know, right?
Maybe we'll do something. Maybe we'll get somebody to donate, like, I don't know, 10 bucks or like 20 bucks for the youth on course thing that we're doing with Pete.
Oh, and do something like that. That's actually a really good idea.
Yeah.
We should do that. We'll film it.
Spitballing right now.
Yeah,
we'll film it and make a video and get some kind of sponsor, you know.
We're just planning episodes. We got Lebioda coming up. We're going to for the YOC.
Yeah. There's a lot coming on here in the lefties.
Biggest winner, I'll say that. I did watch the whole thing.
Oh wow.
Yeah, I watched the whole thing. I think that's who it's for. It's like for the diehard golfers, obviously.
Did I miss anything though? I mean,
No, God no. Okay, you know what you missed? You missed the gorgeous Montana. If there was any winner in this whole thing, dude, it had to be just Montana's influx of Google searches of whatever popular resorts, golf courses, everything. And I will say that, God, it's just like there was a bunch of cool like wildlife and everything. You had these stupid like the stupid Bryson fighting a bear comments. That's what I was in it for, right? It was just the personalities, obviously, like Brady and Rogers. Their dynamic, they're weirdly closer than I thought. Like they were like really kind of vibing together.
Oh, like as friends, you're saying?
Yeah, just like like they were
elite
pretty
quarterbacks.
But they're both like killers and like I don't know, you know, like kind of.
Yeah,
I guess they're
could
not
clash,
real
vibes,
though. I mean, now both in the NFC, but well, maybe not for long.
Doubtful.
But yeah, dude, Phil, like it's Phil's show. If they don't have Phil, dude, that thing after three holes, like all their little quirky jokes and Bryson on the first tee brought duct tape out to like joke with Brady, like it was just so cringe. There were so many like kind of cringe moments. But it was very illuminating, as we'll get into some Bryson stories as well. But yeah, it was just like, I don't know. It was cool to watch kind of golf on a Tuesday and it be different. And that's the thing, dude, like Brady and Rodgers were good. Like good. Like Rodgers made a ton of putts. Like they were making,
I heard he was dropping bombs.
It was like kind of weirdly impressive. Like the non-pros kind of held their own. And it was a solid little match going, but just fun.
Just
to watch
a weird, golf. Really weird time, I thought.
Like, yeah, the Tuesday at like just it dropped at like 5:30. It was like, dude, it was 5.5 hours long. I think they could have done a lot of different things there, but raised a bunch of money for charity. Like, yeah. You know, it kind of was I what
get,
it was.
I get
yeah.
what it's for and stuff, but I mean, do it on a weekend or something where people actually friggin' watch it, you know? Because like the thing with those events, that style events. Like what happened with me is I literally recorded it, went home, did my thing, and it was almost over. And you look on Instagram and social media and you see all the good highlights and it's like, well, I guess I don't need to watch that. You know?
And you don't. And that's the thing.
I didn't. I could do a full recap on it and I didn't watch it.
So I have something to pose.
Okay.
Thinking about the match, was thinking about this last night. Turned the TV on. First time I watched anything baseball related in God knows how long. I put on the Home Run Derby last night.
Nice.
Why doesn't golf have? Yeah, right. He's flexing his Let's Go Mets shirt. Jesus Christ. The repeat, right?
Repeat.
Oh God, real classic. Why doesn't golf have an All-Star game? Like, if you think of a skills competition, when I think of like sports and like NBA, MLB, the NFL, all these sports, like it's now all the All-Star games are just distasteful, right? They're just like, I mean, the Home Run Derby still, it is what it is. But even last night, like now they were changing the way the timing was. It was just weird. They didn't like the whole production of it just didn't really seem to fit.
Right.
But when you think about golf and you think about what you can do with like just skills competitions, putting.
Here's the thing, like so you said like the games don't really matter, which you know the All-Star game, they try and do home field advantage, or they try and make it something, but still nobody watches that shit. No. But people tune into the Home Run Derby and people turn into the skills competition in hockey. People turn into
dunk contest, whatever
it is. So I think this is a great idea. Doing some sort of skills competition, like closest to the pin on this, or who can hit like the trajectories, and you can do like a putting contest.
Exactly. And just point system. Like,
yeah, some kind of
take the pros to Topgolf. We'd watch them we'd watch them play Topgolf. You know what
absolutely.
I mean? Like
I watched amateurs play in that Topgolf league. Did you ever see that show?
Yes.
Where
they
had the two man teams, a boy and a girl, and they would have to pick things and do all that different crap. And
that's right.
I watched that. So having Brooks and do Brooks and Bryson and do like, you know what I'm saying? Like you could make something really cool.
It seems like the tour, listen, PGA Tour, you can take that one. I don't even want credit. Like take it. Just fucking take it.
Just do something.
That's a great idea. Just do
something.
It's
a great idea.
I think
do it during the winter when there's no, or do it during the last 3 week stretch of the John Deere, the Rocket Mortgage, and the 3M.
Hold it at a sick venue. Invite a bunch of media podcasts, like small ones. Like
Lefties
you could do,
Lounge.
Yeah, you could do just a bunch of cool shit.
Right, we could host it.
But that was something I was just like, what games could they play? Yeah, so my mind kind of wandered.
Dude, they could play horse.
They could play horse.
They could play horse. That'd be sick.
I like that.
I mean, there's a lot of. We should play horse, dude. That's another pod.
We're just thinking of content.
This is great, man. See what happens when we don't do this for 2 weeks.
Yeah, right. All right, let's move on to the next the ACC.
Your favorite.
I love this. I wish I didn't have so much stuff going on this weekend because
I'm boycotting this because of Mahomes and Kelce. They just have too much fun,
dude.
And there's freaking Mahomes, Rager. Absolutely bombs the ball.
Yeah, that was.
His swing is stupid.
It's just so it's such a. I'm a good athlete. I don't know how to play golf. I'm swinging as hard as I can.
Exactly, but it works.
Favorite moment of the tournament, easily. He's on the long drive hole. He hits one. I think he hit one like 350, and he just pimps it, throws the club down and just screams, "Tell Marty Fish I'm here. Tell Marty Fish I'm here." And I thought, I was literally dying. Fellow lefty Marty Fish. And dude, another lefty champion, Vinny Del Negro, wins in a playoff.
Dude, I didn't know that he was lefty.
Yeah.
But before we get off Mahomes, I saw this kid on Instagram. He brought a ball with him. Did you see this? And
yes.
He threw it.
That was hilarious. On
one of the holes. And one of the volunteers was just like, "Oh, your ball's over here." And
Mahomes
walked over to the crowd of people that came over. He's like, "That's not my ball."
Yeah.
Just the said best, Mahomes got played.
Yeah. The best was like, yeah. So he's the dude's on the, he's like on the edge of the fairway and he, you know, he's showing the video of the ball and he tossed whatever, he probably tossed it like over his head behind him. And the best part of that video is he goes, watch the sheep come. And
watch
the sheep herd. And all these random people are like, somebody's like, "There's a ball over there." Everybody, they all just come like circle around.
That's gonna be Mahomes.
That was so good. That was so good.
I'll start doing that.
I know. Yeah, dude. They had a time though. It was funny to see, to go from Tuesday watching the match where like Brady and Rodgers are like dialed in, like, you know, playing very serious. And then you just see videos of Mahomes and Kelce just like chugging beers and they're playing with Justin Timberlake and they're,
Know what I thought was weird about that is, why was Annika in the field?
I was gonna ask you the same
and
thing.
And how did she not win?
And she didn't win. And I'm
that goes to show you how good these guys are.
Yeah. Oh no, there's some dudes.
Smoltz is nasty. He's actively trying to be on the senior tour.
Yeah. Smoltz, dude, that was hard. Did you see that finish?
Mm-mm.
Ooh. So they tie. They both tie at 69. Nice. They played 18th. I think it was the 18th again. It's like a par five. And ooh, man, he struggled. Hit a terrible drive. Went to go. A lot of course management. Tried to hit it over the trees, clipped the trees, dropped straight down. Now he's hitting three on a par five, hits three directly into the water on the left. Del Negro still hasn't even taken a shot yet. So he's lying. So he's got to go drop from four. Del Negro hasn't hit his approach yet.
No.
It was actually kind of sick. He nailed a birdie putt to win it. So he kind of won it in fashion. But yeah, that tournament is just the best. Like, it was
really
so
is.
Cool to see like the fans back out there interacting, like all the Curry brothers. Like, it was awesome. And that top 10 leaderboard is just gross. So it was Vinny Del Negro.
He was the first basketball player to ever win it, right?
Yeah, first basketball player. So it went. And then Romo. Yeah, so it was basketball, baseball, football in the top three. Romo was three.
Interesting.
Yeah, it was a good top 10, good tournament. Like, dude, 69 awesome. On that Stableford format is no joke.
Hell yeah.
And also, I don't know if you saw this, but Charles Barkley swing's fixed.
He still didn't play that well, but
it's way bad.
I saw him fist pumping a par.
A par, yeah.
So
that he got up and down.
Yeah, it was
hilarious.
But yeah, his swing looks a lot better.
Yeah. TJ Oshie hit one on that long drive hole, 369. I don't know if you saw that. Dirty.
Those freaking hockey players.
Oh yeah.
I know Lenore doesn't believe it, but hockey translates to golf.
Oh, big time.
Yeah.
Big time. Another good tournament. Again, wish I could have watched more, but we had some other things going on.
Yeah. There's just a lot going on.
And then, man, what else you got before the Open? I got the one, I guess this could be Open related, but the Bryson news. I think the caddy news. That was last week that we didn't talk about.
A lot of
info on that coming out.
Surprising, not really.
Surprising, no. Surprising in the sense of like the timing of it.
The timing. I think
what was surprising.
Right
before the tournament starts, we find out that he's leaving him. What's his name? I forgot.
Tim
what's his last? I forget what his last name was.
Yeah. I think it's irrelevant.
Yeah, it was. It is irrelevant now.
Yeah.
But
He's gone now. He's another guy we should get on the podcast.
Oh my God. Could you imagine that? Yeah. So that story, a lot of illuminating Bryson stories. It came out that original Brooks beef. So that original Brooks video where Brooks was rolling his eyes, comes out that the reason that Brooks was rolling his eyes was, while it was at Bryson, it was at the way that Bryson was like treating his caddy. It was, he was like kind of yelling at him and dressing him down, which Now more rumors are coming out that that seemed to be a theme, that a lot of players didn't like the way that they, that Bryson was treating him on tour. And then obviously probably the hardest player to caddy for on tour. I mean, easily, when you just think about like the demands of how, I mean, I saw a video of this new caddy at the Open using this. Did you see him whipping around? He was whipping this, I don't even know what it was, but it was like an extended whistle on this long kind of string, and it's used for like hunting and long range shooting. And it's like, it captures barometric pressure and all those ridiculous things, you know, spritzing the ball. Yeah. But just, I mean, think of how many times we saw videos of him at the range at, you know, it's completely dark. He can't see where he's hitting the ball, but he's got the TrackMan and he's hitting 100 drivers at 9:30 at night. And his caddy's there, right there with him. So it's like, again, not surprising in the sense of like the stories that were coming out. But yeah, it has not been a good couple weeks for Bryson, to say the least, dude. And then the presser today, which you heard, right?
Oh, God.
Oh, boy.
He was tense.
Dude, he's like, yeah, he's on edge.
He sounded to me, it was like he was just waiting for everyone to talk about the caddy.
Yep.
And everybody to ask him about Brooks.
Yeah.
Like it was just like he was anxious.
He was
like
tense.
Everything was just like, well, why are you asking me that? Like, what do you want to talk about? Like, and we'll get into that. I mean, we can start talking about the British right now. We don't have to really talk about the John Deere or the Scottish Open.
No.
Scottish was wild though. There was a 3-man playoff. And shout out to that dude. Shot a 64. I forget what the hell his name is. I have it. Oh geez, what's his name?
I want to say was the John Deere playoff as well? Didn't?
No.
No, it wasn't. It was
who? No.
Yeah.
What the hell? Oh, Minwoo Lee.
Oh, Minwoo Lee, yes.
Shot a 64 on Sunday. Unbelievable.
Pure.
And then birdies the first playoff hole to win. Just crazy outcome. There's a lot of low numbers on Sunday. Thomas Dietrich shot a 67. Fitzpatrick shot a 67. And then the other crazy thing about the Scottish, before we get into the Open, is John Rahm finished in seventh place alone at 16 under par and lost the world number one spot.
Right.
We have to have a whole separate pod on just how this stupid official world golf
the rankings work. Right.
Because this is the stupidest thing I ever heard. Dustin Johnson, I don't even know if he was playing.
I
don't even think he played. It
was safer for him to not play, probably.
Probably. And it served him right because now he is the world number one again.
Yes.
Which is ridiculous because John Rahm, I mean, is the odds on favorite for the Open. And it just, it doesn't make any sense to me. But yeah, shout out to Minwoo Lee. 64 Sunday, birdied his first six holes.
Dude.
Just ridiculous.
So ridiculous. Absolutely last thing from the Scottish Open, the most relatable sequence of events that I've ever seen a tour player do was Justin Thomas waiting for the green to clear and cold topping that 3-wood was an absolute piece of art. I think I actually have that. And as he releases the club, he just lets the club go in his backswing.
Like a true gentleman.
Just an absolute thing of beauty.
Yeah. I actually listened to, what the hell is his name? Who does the subpar podcast? Colt Nost?
Yeah, Nost.
He's on Sirius XM, which I got, and it's life-changing.
Yeah.
Because I can listen to golf. They do the coverage. They do everything. But he said that was one of the most picturesque tops that he's ever seen. If you ask a pro if they've ever topped a 3-wood and they say no, never to trust them.
Right.
Because everybody does it. And he said,
everybody poops.
He handled it perfectly. Like he just knew he was due. He probably hadn't done that in like a year or two. And he was just due and
got it over before the British Open.
Exactly. Exactly.
Classy.
He said that he does it all the time. And it was super funny to listen to him, a former pro, talk about that. So that is really funny.
And we have to we have to mention that it was Lucas Glover, dude. I forgot it was Lucas Glover.
What was it?
What a blast from the past.
10 years in between?
10 years. I think he was, I think he's like the seventh player to go like to win in each decade. I think he won in each decade.
Yo, so it's, you don't see this. And obviously we're talking about the John Deere now. We're kind of getting all over the place. But Lucas Glover won the fifth major of the year. John Deere, it's a great, just a classy, just strong, you know, the strong field. It was just everything you'd want.
Strong motor. Just,
Yeah, it just, out of all the golf this weekend, if you weren't tuned into that, you missed a lot. I mean, that was but really cool. Like, nonetheless, it's like we always say, it's still a golf tournament. It's $1 million. Winning is winning. He kind of attested this win to watching Tiger win the 2019 Masters and said that it was really cool for him to, like, his kids to see him as a champion. And that kind of motivated him. And, and now he's back. I mean, the dude went back and forth from the Corn Ferry, I think, like, six times or something like that.
Oh, it's crazy. Yeah.
It's his story is absolutely ridiculous. Like, just an app. Like, when you think a journeyman on the PGA Tour, and Lucas Glover's got to be in your top five. Like,
yeah,
it's ridiculous.
One in three separate decades too. Like, that alone.
It's ridiculous. I mean, it's really ridiculous to just the fight, really, like, to play, and like the stress. I mean, it's got to be crazy to go back and forth and just keep fighting for your spot. And like, at some point you just got to be like, dude, I could just go be a pro and just like chill out and, you know, teach some old lady how to hook it around a tree. Like,
yeah,
you know,
not grind to make the weekends.
And every putt is like, I mean, geez, it just seems like a lot, but that, you know, it also shows you how much he loves the game, and shout out to him. And now his kids see him as a major champion, and it's just, yeah, it's wild.
It is, dude. Fifth major.
Yeah. The fifth major of the year. Yeah. Just wild though. I was, yeah, it was cool to see. So,
but it's here. We're here.
We're here though.
We've slowly made our way. The British Open Championship,
dude. The last major of the year, finally.
It's.
I can't believe we're here. Yeah, no, I'm just saying. Finally. Like, I feel like,
I know.
You know, when we were talking about this season, we're like, oh, there's six majors this year, or seven majors, however many majors there was. And I mean, the cool thing about it is we still got a lot of cool golf.
I know.
After this major, we have the Olympics right after this.
Yep.
We have all the FedEx Cup. That's going to start, which is wild.
I know.
And then we have the Ryder Cup.
Oh, that I'm most excited for.
We have the Ryder Cup, dude.
Most excited for.
I can't wait to start talking about that, dude.
I know. I know.
But that's crazy, because when we do, it's going to be almost end of golf season. It's going to be the end of September, which we don't like.
It's going to be CMG season.
No, but yeah. We'll hopefully still be defending champions by then.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
But yeah, let's get into it. What do you want to start with the Open?
We're at Royal St. George.
Yeah. In Sandwich, Kent, which I think
is,
I'm going to sound like a true American. I think it's weird that there's Sandwich, Kent, Kent, England.
England.
Just weird to me.
It is weird.
Yeah.
But I don't know. It's like, do you know, how much do you know about St. George?
Not much. I know it's in the nine courses that you know, in the rotation.
In the
rota,
yeah.
The rota, that they call it.
Yeah.
I know Greg Norman won there.
Yep.
I think that was like the highest score, minus 13, I believe. Other than that, it just kind of looks like a normal setup.
Like a normal links.
The thing, yeah, they're all links courses. And the thing about the Open that I think is so weird, and not weird, and maybe it's because I don't pay enough attention, you know, a while back, but the way they set all the grandstands and the color schemes and all this stuff, all of the courses look very similar.
Yes. Yeah.
Did you ever notice that?
Yeah, like backdrop and setting. Yeah.
Yeah. Like when you go through like to Royal Troon and St. Andrews and Royal St. George's and Carnoustie and like all the ones that are in, the way they set things up, it's the same color scheme and the same, like, everything, the blue grandstands and, you know, the it just all looks the same.
Yep.
It's wild to me that they can do that.
It's this one too is just like, it feels like it rolls the most. Like, there's so many, like, just bumps and, like, berms and rolling hills. And, you know, it's,
I think, yeah, the biggest thing that they said is that the fairways are super, super, super tough to hit because a lot of them are crowned.
Yeah. So, yeah. Tom Lehman won in 96, called Royal St. George the most unpredictable open venue he ever played. And that's to your point. He said tee shots headed to the middle of the fairway, like, that can end up in the rough. They can end up in a bunker. They can end up, you know, anywhere, which is kind of just crazy to think. It looks like the weather's going to be pretty good there. So we could get,
they said wind is going to be a factor, which is good.
Yeah.
You're on the coast. So you're going to get some wind, but
not too wet.
That's the biggest thing is if it stays dry but windy, it's gonna be sick.
Yeah, it is.
It's gonna dry out. It's gonna be wild.
Yeah. And I think I was just reading this before. Sandy Lyle won the 85 Open, and he said St. George was in a class with, like you just said, Carnoustie, Royal Birkdale, as just like the beasts. Like, it's one of the harder venues that's in that rota. Mm-hmm. It's a combined 7 players have finished under par in the past 2 Opens at St. George, which is kind of, I mean, it's going to be interesting. Like, it's, and anyone can win it. So here's a little fun fact for you.
Okay.
Average age of the major champions since 2011, at each major. We'll start with, the youngest. So the U.S. Open is, the average age is 27 years old since 2011. The winner is 27 years old, which is
damn.
Yeah, that alone is kind of crazy. PGA is in second at 29 years old. The Masters is at 31 years old, and the Open is 35 years old. So the average age of the Open champion is a 35-year-old player.
Damn.
Which is interesting.
That's very interesting.
And it's you know, length isn't, you know, this is one of the weekends where we're just not going to talk about length. It's just not, it's, which is kind of nice.
It's going to come down to who is the most creative.
Yes.
And who can golf their ball. As funny as that sounds.
And who can scramble,
you know, and I don't know. I mean, we can get into like favorites and stuff like that, but I've listened to a few podcasts already on previews and stuff like that. And nobody is talking about Dustin Johnson.
No.
The number one player in the world. We say this every time.
No, Mark. So listen. No, Mark said he's dead.
Mark did say he's dead, but I don't think he's dead, dude. And I think he's going to have a better week than everybody else because of this.
Whoa, interesting.
Because he is one of the biggest people with a goldfish mentality, right?
Okay.
He is going to be the best one that can react to hitting a good shot and having a bad outcome.
That's a good point.
And this style course, this a link style course, which, I mean, I can't speak from experience, but a lot of times you have to be okay with getting a bad hop and hitting a perfect shot and just getting a bad hop, or having it roll out too much and hitting it absolutely perfect and not having the ball do what you want it to do. It's going to be huge. That's why it's, you know, I know Rahm's a major winner now and all this stuff, but I think that he's going to have a hard time with it because I still think that he has a little bit of an anger issue.
First off, so, that man is on a wave, though.
He is on a wave.
His vibe right now.
He's his own vibe.
he is on a wave. But that's like, actually, that like paints a perfect picture, too, is why the Open champion is an average age of 35 years old, right? Like, when you're just talking about that experience, the goldfish mentality, you know,
it's going to take
taking the lumps.
It's going to take you go back to my boy, Jordan Spieth. It took him 30 or 40 minutes to bogey that one hole in his win. It's going to take shit like that. Like, he was playing for a bogey and like being okay with that. And then going after, like, it's a lot of mental, I think.
Yeah.
And it's going to, I don't know why Dustin Johnson isn't in the mix. But we'll see. I think he's going to do well just because of his mentality, because he's always just been that Okay. Well, I mean, yeah. After he got that, what, 9 or something, or 11 on that hole, he's just like, yeah, well, I hit 3 in the water and then I hit my next one on and I got an 11. And yeah. Then he's like, that's the last you ever heard about it. Cause like, right. You can't get anything out of that dude.
Right.
So,
another thing too, each of the last 7 winners have been top 7 in scrambling at over 70%, which is a super high number. Like, that's the thing, is like, you're just not going to hit greens here sometimes too. It's like,
right.
So you gotta be good around the greens, but you know, being good around the greens at this tournament is very different than, you know, watching Patrick Reed open up a 60 degree and just, you know, put a ball to 2 feet every time.
Yeah, you're not doing that because the ball's not grabbing.
And you're doing it in different ways. And they did say too that they expect it to be very firm, which would be, it would be a treat, right? I mean, that's what we hear before every major championship, but exactly. It seems like the weather, it seems like, you know, things are lining up. We'll see.
I hope it gets away from them. I do.
Yeah, right. Nobody's under par.
I want to tell this story before we get into anything else, just about the Open in general, right?
Yeah.
So I was reading and they started this in 1860, right? Was the first Open champion, Prestwick Golf Club, right? In Scotland. So there was like 8 guys that played in it, whatever. There's all this stuff and they go through and win, but you got this belt. It was called the champion belt, right?
Yeah.
Super cool. So they made this rule about the belt, and I'm going to read it. The party winning the belt shall always leave the belt with the treasurer of the club until he produces a guarantee to the satisfaction of the above committee that the belt shall be safely kept and laid on the table at the next meeting to compete for it until it becomes the property of the winner by being won 3 times in succession, right? So they go through this thing from 1860.
Okay.
They get to 1868, right? Young Tom Morris wins.
Yep.
1869, young Tom Morris wins. 1870.
No. In succession.
Young Tom Morris wins 3 times.
That's
it. This dude says, give me my belt, right? So they don't have the Open Championship in 1871 because they didn't have a trophy.
Oh, my God.
That's the only, I'm pretty sure that might be one of the few times that they didn't have the Open Championship.
Besides COVID. So it was COVID and the lack of a belt. The first time, right? A championship was played because somebody forgot a belt.
So then the three forming members of the committee all chipped in and they bought the claret jug. Didn't have it in 1872 that young Tom Morris won again.
Oh my God.
And then this other dude won it, but his name is first on the claret jug. So that was, that's a cool little story, I thought.
That's amazing.
Yeah. But how sick would it be, to have a belt now?
Right.
Like, you, dude, got that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Could you? Oh my God. I'm just thinking of, like,
isn't that crazy?
The celebration, depending on who wins of the belt.
Yeah. Imagine wearing that belt, like the Masters jacket. Like, you just get to wear that to like MSG and all the places.
Like, wait, did you see a picture of the belt? You think it was like a WWE style belt? Like, how big do you think this belt was? Like, back in the day, you think
it was red leather, though, they said.
Ooh, red leather, yellow leather. Oh, man.
Oh, yeah. That it's very similar to a WWE style belt.
Oh, my God. Incredible. Yeah, so this is what, the 149th, I think?
Oh, and excuse me. It's not the champion belt. It was called the challenge belt.
The challenge belt.
Yeah.
Oh, which that's is electric. Sick. We might have to post a picture of this belt.
Yeah, we might have to.
Oh, that's awesome.
I'm
going to
save it. It's super, super funny. But yeah, that was I thought that was a cool piece of history.
All right, let's stick with the history. We have fellow lefty and we believe participant in the CT Open this year, Shane Bacon. Right?
Oh, did, yeah.
He qualified, I think. I think he's going to be in the field. The field is not set. I know they're still setting the field, but
no, so he qualified though.
No, I know, 100%. But hopefully he'll be able to make it, because I know they have trouble sometimes with some last minute, like, scheduling things. Some people drop out and whatnot, but hopefully, you know, whatever tournament schedule and everything he's planned. It is a Monday through Wednesday. So
yeah,
kind of, that would hopefully fit his schedule, but he tweeted this out today and a little mind blowing. You know, we always talk about the crazy Tiger stats. So here's one for Norm, if he's listening.
Okay.
Jack Nicklaus had a 15-year run at the Open starting in 1966, where he never finished outside the top six. For 15 years, he had three wins,
what?
Six second place finishes, two thirds, two fourths, one fifth, and a sixth.
Oh my God.
For a 15-year run, dude, he didn't finish outside of the top six.
That is incredible.
That's a stat.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Six second place finishes.
That's crazy.
Call me Xander Schauffele. That's when I kind of like, you know, when you read it the first time and then you make take the double take and I read it again, I was like, hold on 15, not 15 consecutive years. Yeah. 15 consecutive years.
That's incredible. Really, if you think about it,
so ridiculous.
Wow.
So shout out Jack.
Wow. Yeah. Shout out Jack. And shout out Norm too. He doesn't get a lot of Jack,
He doesn't get a Jack lot of Jack stats. Yeah. He
doesn't get a lot of Jack stats. So there you go, Norm. It's been two weeks. This is a special sode.
Maybe we'll start to work some in.
Yeah, exactly.
the other thing that I had too, which is fan favorite stat that I always love to bring up, is the current best combined score to par at majors since 2016. We could pretty much just call this the Brooks stat, but we have an update now. Brooks is at minus 84 under par. Second is DJ still hanging in there at minus 21 under par, and Xander at minus 21 under par.
Hold on. Whoa.
Yeah.
I heard that right. You said Brooks is at 85 under?
84 under.
84 under. And the next person.
Best combined score to par at majors since 2016 is world number one DJ at 21 under par.
Wow.
And Xander at 21 under par.
63
strokes left.
That's ridiculous. A little math for you guys. A little is math it, ooh, corner. Woo. It's probably wrong.
But. No. I can confirm. I think that one's right.
Okay.
Yeah, dude. Just crazy. But
that's incredible.
I'll say I don't think an American's winning this weekend.
You don't?
Nah. Well, I would be surprised if an American won, and I'm probably going to pick an American as my winner when we do our picks.
We are going to get into picks soon, but who's on the top of your list for European guys?
So I believe
you think
that
it's going to be an Englishman.
No, I believe that there was a stat. I thought I saw it. I don't want to give a little half baked stat here, but
wouldn't be the first time.
Not the first time. I don't think an American's won the Open. When was the last? Maybe it was at this track. In like a while, because I can't remember.
Jordan Spieth won. He's American as hell.
No, it was at this track.
Okay.
But I don't know. I have some names.
Ben Curtis in 2003.
Okay. So this is I'll save mine for the winners. But I don't know. I don't think it's gonna be one of the top dogs.
No, that's cool. I agree.
What else you got?
Nothing. I was just gonna ask you what your favorite Open was, because we haven't gotten this in a whole year, man. I mean, we missed out, and there's been some bangers.
I know.
But do you remember? Mine's not even Jordan's. No, it's not. Even though that was an awesome Open and very special to me.
Yeah, yeah.
Because Jordan won that.
Yeah.
And I had told this late. I had done this lady's lawn for like 10 years.
Yeah.
She was a big golf fan. And we would talk about it, and I was like, I don't know, my boy Jordan. She's like, he just doesn't have it. He doesn't have it in him. He can't go four rounds. And it's like she knew like what she was talking about. And I'm like, God damn it.
Talk a little and then, shit.
He won, and then she ended up going to the hospital and passing away.
Oh, whoa.
So it was super special. I like right before she passed, like I just got to tell her that Jordan Spieth won. So
you
like
killed
it was
her.
I didn't kill her, you asshole. It was super, like, super special that he won. I don't know. It was just a weird correlation. But that's not even my favorite one. My favorite one was Henrik and Phil. Do you remember that?
No.
When it was just a two-horse race, I think Stenson won it at 20 under.
Oh, okay.
Phil was at 19, and literally – I think they were four or five strokes ahead of everyone going into Sunday.
Right.
It was literally a just battle between those two.
Yeah,
and, Henrik
I think
ended
that
up
was
winning. Yeah.
2016. That was the Royal Troon, I believe.
Could have been, yeah.
Yep.
But gosh, that was so amazing. Like looking back on it now, we always say, like, I wish I appreciated that more, like seeing.
Yeah. Yeah. He shot a final round 63, which tied Johnny Miller's record. Oh my God. That's disgusting. Set the cumulative open record with a 72 hole in relation to par of 20 under.
Thing was, Phil was right there too.
Yeah, that's extremely impressive.
Yeah.
I do not remember that one. I'll say this. I think
so cool.
My favorite, I think with like the open, and this is another thing we'll talk about, is one of my favorite like parts of the open is just the viewing. Like I'm a morning guy. Like I love the early morning. I love getting up early and like watching it.
I'm glad you're talking about this.
It always feels, because now you're remembering you got to get up and set the alarm.
No, it's just the schedule is such bullshit.
I cannot take
all this Peacock shit.
Oh,
like the switching of the channels.
Yeah,
and
it's
doing,
tough. It's
on
tough.
Thursdays and Fridays, they're doing like 1 to 4 a.m. at Peacock, 4 to 2 on Golf Channel, and then from 2 to 3 on Peacock.
Yeah, screw it's so you, weird, dude. Peacock. It's so weird. Yeah.
It's just so stupid. It's so dumb.
The best is, though, like turning it on super early in the morning. It's dark out. You turn it on there. It's normally kind of like dark there. It's always like kind of overcast. It's always like the same. Like, it doesn't matter.
You can make breakfast and like
have
coffee and just chill out. It's like when the Ryder Cup was over in Francais.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. Remember? I woke up.
Oh, yeah. You had to.
You have to. I don't know if I'm going to be getting up at 1 o'clock in the morning, but
I know. Dude, honestly, like Lowry in 19, that him closing that and being in Ireland and seeing, like, I remember watching that final. I didn't like tune too much into it, but I remember watching the end of that and being like, whoa, like this is special. Like just like the energy of the place. And, you know, obviously they show out there. I hope that they're, I want to say.
Where was that? That was in Ireland too.
That was in Ireland. Yeah. That was
super big for him.
That was Royal Portrush, I think. Mm. That was, that was Royal Portrush. But he, and he kind of like came out of nowhere in a sense to win that. Like that was, I think the last two.
There's been a lot of good ones, man.
And then 2000 at, what's it called? Tiger at 2000 at the old course at St. Andrews.
Yeah.
That's one that I just like always find myself rewatching. So that's one that's kind of we don't remember it, but
yeah, St. Andrews.
Whew. Anything St. Andrews.
Couple of years, man.
I know.
Maybe next year, 2020. I forget where that is. 24, maybe. But anyways, crazy. I'm excited for it.
Yeah, I'm very excited. I'm going on vacation. I'm going down to Outer Banks Thursday night
and
leaving at 3 in the morning Friday. Yeah. So right when they're teeing off, I'm just the whole car ride down. I'm going to be able to listen to it, watch it. I'm kind of awesome. Jacked for that. That makes
driving.
Yeah. That makes a long car ride that much better.
Nice.
So hopefully we get some fireworks Friday.
Yeah. That'd be nice. Well, what else you got? You want to get into picks?
Yeah. Let's do some.
We got Frankie's picks. He's got softball again today. We were hoping to grab him in here late, but I don't think he's going to make it. So I got Frank's picks. I got my picks.
Okay.
And then we're going to pick a not winner.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Yes. Let me get this.
So the not winner, this is another one.
Oh, I know mine immediately. Yeah.
This is one of our half-baked plans. If you pick a not winner, and we're going to get Frankie's, I'll text him today or tonight. If you pick a not winner and they win, there's some sort of consequence.
Has to be.
And
it's gotta be good too.
I know. And actually we might as well put it out to the crowd
here,
or to our following.
I love this.
Okay.
You ready?
Okay.
Specific to this major, we go to whatever Goodwill OG store we can find and we get a retro outfit, maybe the belt too.
Oh,
and
wow.
You got to play Candlewood, or you got to play your next round that we play together at dress up as old Tom Morris.
Oh wow, that's fair.
That would be pretty good.
Okay.
I mean, listen,
and here's the thing, when you pick a nine, if it's
got to be in the top like 15,
it's got to be a legit guy. Like, you know what
I'm
saying?
Can I go first? I want to say mine right now.
you can't even wait. Just go ahead. Okay, give me a nine.
It's Dustin Johnson. It's Dustin Johnson. It's the biggest no brainer.
Justin Johnson.
I couldn't even get it out of my mouth. I was going to say world number one. And everything that you just said there, it's easily I'm taking DJ.
Oh my God.
Do you have Frankie's?
No.
Does he know about this?
Okay. He doesn't even know about this yet.
Okay. Okay.
So he's just getting into something that he didn't even know.
I love that.
So we're going to call it the NGW Cup. Not going to win cup. You have DJ. I'm writing this down right now. I don't know if this is going to qualify. I want to say Ricky Fowler is not going to win.
Oh my God. That is just distasteful.
Okay. I'm going to go, since you went with DJ.
Let's say this. I think that they have to be within like the top 20 odds.
Okay.
We could even say like 25. We don't
know.
You
know
it
who
like
I already know who I'm going to pick. Okay. World number two, John Rahm.
Oh, wow.
Odds on favorite.
I really wanted actually to pick him to win.
Yeah. Well, go ahead, because
but I'm not gonna. Yeah. And then but it's funny Frankie, that we actually Frankie both does, said that those were our those would have been like the two that we like you just said you kind of thought
I just DJ said
was
yeah
gonna
exactly.
come out of nowhere. I was about to go on the Rahm's gonna come out of nowhere. Not come out of nowhere, but Rahm's gonna win.
Yeah. All right,
that's funny.
So what we do for our picks is we do a winner, a top five, top 10, and a 40-1 odds higher who's gonna do really well. What do you want to start with? You want to do from top to bottom or?
Yeah, let's go top to bottom.
Okay. Or winner.
Yeah, let's go. No, let's go bottom to top. Bottom actually. To top. I like that. I think we've gone bottom to top before. So
yeah.
You want me to All start? Right.
Go ahead.
I'm going to go with Mark Leishman.
Ooh.
Ooh, just, great. Yeah, he just had a good, what was it? Masters performance.
Yeah.
Aussie just, I think he can handle the elements. We're talking about, again, this is the theme, veteran, right?
Mm-hmm.
Kind of would be a little bit out of nowhere. Theme with Royal St. George the last couple ones.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. I like his game. So he's my, when thinking about it, I kind of wanted to go non-American and I wanted to go older. So Mark Leishman is the pick for top 40.
There you go. I like that. Well, I'm going to say Frank's first, and his is a good one too that I was thinking about, and his is Kevin Kisner.
Ooh.
He's been playing very well, and like you said, distance isn't really a factor here, so it could be pretty legit. So, yeah, he has Kiz, and then surprisingly was going to pick this guy to be a possible winner because of his ball striking. He is one of the, if not the best iron players in the game at 40-1 exactly, Colin Morikawa.
Ooh, so fun, kind of an interesting, I saw an interesting little tidbit from Morikawa this week.
Okay.
He was complaining that the turf over there is much different and that the way that it's reacting with the iron, with his irons is he's not able to like, he has no feel for the way that the club is coming through the turf. Really? He's like,
wonder if
he
that's
really,
why he's 40-1.
And he was really struggling. I know. Right.
I still think it's a good bet. Because
no, I know.
He's
going to
figure it
was,
out in the practice rounds.
Right.
Sooner
right.
than later. And
I just thought it
range.
Was,
but very okay, interesting. Very interesting.
We have Frankie's not going to win. All this right. So
I wish he wasn't editing. I wish he had a little bit more time because he could put like a press release, like news, like
breaking news,
breaking news music.
Yeah.
But here it is. Breaking news.
I've got DJ. You have
John Rahm.
Frankie has Xander Schauffele.
Wow. I will accept that one because he is. Wow.
We're taking swings here. I mean, we're talking about. I like this. I like this.
World number one, guy who is arguably the hottest golfer in freaking the world.
Yeah.
And then the guy probably who is the best without a major right now.
One oh of? Yeah, right. Probably one easily, right?
Easily.
Yeah, he's got to be because just his so finishes
there could
alone.
Be some
in
fireworks, dude.
I know.
God, I'd love to see one of you in a. young Tom Morris.
Dude,
I'm not going to Candlewood either. If I do that, I'm going somewhere where I don't know anybody.
Yeah, right. I think this is probably a bad place to put this in, but I think we should talk about that just real quick. Like, there's a lot of dudes that are not going to the Open.
I was gonna say that right
we
after.
We should have. Yeah,
let's
I was gonna say.
Yeah,
all right, we'll do this first, picks. And then we'll finish with that.
Yeah, finish our picks, and then we'll talk about that. Just if the whole thing will be the same, because a lot of guys are missing.
Yeah. All right. So top 10, I am going with a nice safety play here.
Okay.
I'm going John Rahm. I think to your point, I think it would be. The vibes are out of control, but I don't know. This would be a tall task. He's rolling right now.
He's been doing a lot. Yeah. There's a lot to win in a major. It's not just a normal tournament. A lot of obligations, very tiring. He went over to the Scottish Open. So it's not like he's been sitting around doing nothing. The guy's been on a tear and literally finished two strokes back in the Scottish Open. So he's firing out some rounds.
He's balling.
But I don't think he's going to win. Top 10 is a perfect bet.
All right, who you got?
So for Frank, he has Patrick Cantlay, top 10, which I like.
Might hear that again.
Me too, actually.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so, and make sure you're paying attention to who I'm saying, because Frank picks Cantlay. We have a couple of the
overlaps,
same names.
A couple overlaps. Okay, yeah. Okay.
So
who do you have top 10?
Top 10? I'm going back to my guarantee, baby.
Oh, God. Here we go. Mr. Spieth.
Mr. Spieth.
He's
got to be in there.
He's back.
He's got to be in there.
He better.
He could win.
I haven't heard that name in a while. It feels like weeks.
Yo, look at all the expert picks. He's going to win.
And you're putting him in top 10. That says a lot.
This is what I do. Okay, guaranteed top 10.
Okay.
I've only missed out on one of those so far.
You want me to go? All right, I'll start with top five.
Top five.
Sticking with the Aussie crew. I'm going Cam Smith.
Cam Smith.
I'm kind of throwing one out of right field a little bit, but
man, I almost thought you were going to go like even crazy, because isn't Cam Davis Australian too, who just won?
Yeah, who just won. That's right. Yeah, he is. But no, not that crazy.
Yeah.
I want a chance at winning this. All right. Who's Frankie got for top five?
Frankie has, I disagree with this. But I'm going to try and say it as upbeat as I can. He has a top five finisher, Tommy Reed. Fleetwood.
Oh, well.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
He hasn't been playing well. He's just got really long hair
But he did wear a Nike polo today, and instead of the Nike logo, it was a picture of his own face, and it was kind of badass. Like bitmojis that they have of like create your own face. It was like that cartoon of his own face.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
Good luck to Tommy Fleetwood. But if you're taking these bets, I don't agree with that one. Fleetwood, he's just been irrelevant to me and to basically golf. So,
yeah.
But listen, I also said that Hideki Matsuyama for a Masters pick was the worst pick ever heard, and he won. So,
light.
If you're betting, just hammer that bet.
Fleetwood's gonna win.
Yeah. Top five for me is a Tyrrell Hatton.
Lord.
Yeah, he has played well this year. Kind of not around as of late, but this could be right up his alley. I think he knows the courses over there, and that's
going to
play
a part.
I like that
name, actually. I like that. I like that a lot. That's kind of sneaky. That's a good. That kind of fits the mold a little bit.
Exactly. It just fit. I just think he's going to be battling there. So top five for him.
All right, winners. It's time. I got Patrick Cantlay. Yeah, dude. I have him win. No, do you too? You do. You definitely do. Oh,
dude.
I'm so glad I said that first.
Me too. That's why I just have to say it. I picked Patrick Cantlay too, dude. Wow. Damn it.
Yo, this could be a big week for us.
Patrick Cantlay.
I challenge you right now. I challenge you to create this is for Tommy Skaz. I challenge you to create a DK lineup for this week.
I will. I think we have money left on that.
Okay.
I'm going to check that. If not, we'll get some on there.
Yeah, I was gonna say I want to see a DK lineup this week.
Okay. Yeah.
Maybe we'll even do it. Yeah. Maybe we'll do a little team DK.
Wow.
Imagine. Seeing as we both had Patrick Cantlay.
I think we need to now.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Wow, that just got me excited.
All right. So who's Frank got?
Want to know who Frank has?
Am I gonna like this or am I not gonna like it?
You're not gonna like it at all.
Okay.
Jordan Spieth.
What? Oh my God, dude! What?
Yep. Oh, just like every other analyst that I've listened to for the past 2 days on the Open, they're all picking him. They're all picking Jordan Spieth to win.
I swear, I thought
he's bashed.
I thought you just said before that like one of the biggest things to win the Open Championship you needed was like a thick mindset and like a, and a short memory and not Ooh. Someone who's Ooh, gonna
hit him hard.
He's gonna put a 100,000 word essay to his caddy without saying a word. Yeah, dude, that is I don't know about that.
Hammered him. Wow.
God, if he wins this weekend,
what are you gonna do?
No, that it kind of would be fitting. Like it would be
gonna turn this around and be some bullshit, right?
No. I just think like if he was going to win a major to win the Open, where it's like there is no like it doesn't suit any game, right? Like it's a little bit of it's kind of everything, right? It's like
right.
I think that actually does. I get it. I get the case for him. Yeah. I don't know though. I don't have any faith. But wow, Frankie putting some beans in the Jordan Spieth pot.
When he said that, I said I might have to put in a courtesy Ricky Fowler pick.
Okay. This is starting to make sense now.
But I didn't. I almost picked him not gonna win.
did you respond and say, "Are you serious?" Or
I said,
like,
"No,
is this
I just
a real
said,
pick?"
Wow.
Yeah. Oh, that's great.
Super funny. All right, a couple more things before we leave. Let's talk about all the guys that aren't going over there. There's a lot of names, dude.
Yeah, dude.
So because of COVID, I think is Hideki Matsuyama, Bubba Watson, yep, Zach Bubba. Johnson,
yep,
Ryan Moore, David Duval, Louis DeJager, a lot of names. And then, Sungjae Im and Siwoo Kim, they aren't going because they're practicing for the Olympics.
That's
because
right.
This is actually huge for them because if they win a medal,
yeah, dude. Yeah.
They don't have to serve their military term,
which is 2 years
in Korea.
Yeah.
Which ruined Sangmun Bae's career.
Career.
A bunch
yeah.
of these guys that are just nasty have to go over and serve, which I get it.
Do you?
God, I don't get it. But if that's what their country does and that, you know what I'm saying? I mean,
right. What
should
yeah.
there might
be underrated storyline, right? Like,
yeah. So they are taking it that insane. Seriously where they aren't going to play in a major, which arguably would give you pretty good practice for the Olympics, I would assume. But they're going so hard and just getting ready for the Olympics so that they don't have to go over.
Yeah. You know who else is not playing?
I do, and I wanted you to say this name because I want to get your insight on it.
Matt Wolf.
Mm-hmm.
You know what he is playing in? The 3M, baby. He's playing this weekend in the 3M.
No, he's not.
Yeah, he is.
No, because the Barbasol is the...
Oh, just kidding. It's two weeks then.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So
yeah,
he's
yeah.
not playing in this because he has to... He's getting prepped for the 3M. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. No, my joke... I knew you were going to say something because you love the 3M now that he won it. So that's why I saw that he just recently announced that he was playing in the 3M. I honestly...
Yeah.
I didn't even know what the opposite field tournament was. I just figured it was the 3M. No. I just figured that was like a
which is even
I just funny. Figured that was like a COVID rescheduling or something. Like I was just like, wait, this is weird.
Yeah. So the Barbasol Championship is the alternate for the Open, but the 3M is next week, which makes total sense because he wants to go win
yeah,
that
right.
again. He just wants he loves that 3M so much that he just
he
like,
needs
you know
it.
What? Screw
yes.
the major championship, block out all yes. the noise, and let's go get this yes. 3M. Arguably the eighth major of the
yeah,
year.
Yeah, and he put together a couple rounds too recently.
Yeah, at the
where was it?
At the U.S. Open.
Was it the Open? Yeah.
I don't think he's played.
No, he played. I forget where it was. Oh, the Golf Club of Detroit. Because he was.
Oh, yeah.
He was, he shot 5 under the first day. He was 29 under in his last 6 rounds at the Detroit Golf Club dating back to 2019. Jesus. He was averaging 7 birdies or better to par in that span. That was that weird stat that I had.
That's nuts.
Yeah, dude.
Why do you think he's not playing though?
I think he's just, I don't really know. He was with his his kind of longtime girlfriend now. He was at their family's place. I don't know. I really don't know why.
I mean, he's been working on his mental shit. Yeah, I don't, and doing all that stuff.
But. I don't know. I don't think it was like anything with that related.
No,
I don't really know.
It's got to be something.
No, I know.
Damn major.
Yeah. The only thing I think is like something to do with travel, like the travel, and I don't know. But yeah, no open championship. Crazy. And that was another late call.
What do you think about everybody though? I mean, that's a lot of big names that aren't over there because of COVID.
Yeah.
It sucks. Like the players just seem like they're jumping through hoops, and these guys are going to have like 32,000 people on site.
I know. Still,
all these guys can't share houses and do all this stuff. It seems.
Yeah, it's crazy. And it's, and a lot of it too is because of like the timings of the testing, the having the ability to get in a flight over there where no one's around. I'm like, it's just all, like you said, it's all these hoops. And the funny thing is too, is like, I believe after this week on the PGA tour, all of it's out. It's all of it's out the door. No more testing, no more. Yeah. I'm almost positive I read that.
That's crazy.
Yeah. The thing is though, with it being international travel, like you could kind of expect that some of this stuff was going to happen. Right. It's like,
yeah.
I'm just happy it's happening.
Because NBC is only sending like a few people over there too.
Yeah. It seems like they're
just crazy.
They're pretty locked down in the, and like to your point, but they're still going to have 32,000 people.
It just doesn't, it doesn't make sense to me. And, I don't want to just switch topics, but the coverage is going to be like, it's going to be on NBC here, but it's going to be whatever
Sky.
Yeah. Right. Sky.
Yeah. Is it Sky? I know Sky's there. Yeah. It's gotta be Sky.
I heard that. Yeah. But that's going to be wild to see their coverage of it.
A little bit of both. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hopefully we can get, I wonder how much, if we can get any of that over here on any of the apps. Like I'd love to watch that through their coverage and not NBC. Do a little looking that up.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a weird time for sure.
Absolutely.
But I'm still excited. I
know. I think it's going to be a good one, I think.
Yeah. It sucks. Bubba was playing pretty good. And Matsuyama, like a lot of people, like.
He's a past Masters champion.
Ball striking. It's
my
just
boy,
you know,
Sungjae.
Sungjae too. Yeah.
Sungjae's
a lot of guys getting a chance to play though, right? It's like that's one of the cool things, and you got to see
Harold
both sides
Varner
of the coin. Yeah, both sides of the coin is, you know, you got a lot of these guys that maybe wouldn't have had the opportunity, kind of sneaking in with all these exemptions now and these late ads.
Right.
And do you know about the jet that they do from John Deere straight over that they do with the winner now? Did you know that's what they do at the tournament now at the John Deere to kind of like attract more talent, right? Because the problem with the John Deere and the scheduling is that, you know, you're going overseas, and with the timing, like the jet lag, you know, that's another reason it's probably harder for the Americans to win. I think you brought that up, but the winner, and I think it was multiple people, but Lucas Glover now gets there's a charter that goes directly from the John Deere to the Open. Right after. So like it's kind of, they, you know, they're, I believe that their transportation is taken care of, but I think they've done this like the last couple of years, as a way to make sure that some of the top talent comes in because they have that guaranteed kind of trip over.
Travelers did that with something. I feel like
they might have too. Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like
probably with the timing of it actually might've been, but yeah, I don't know. I'm excited.
It's going to be fun.
Yeah, I love it's a major, right?
Yeah.
We want fireworks. We
exactly. Carnage.
We want it all. And we got it last tourney, so
yeah. It's going to be exciting. So you got any other final thoughts?
I don't.
Me either.
Good to be back. I think little bit of everything today.
Yeah, for sure. It was fun. Felt like forever.
Yeah, no, dude, it was weird. And we don't know what's going to be happening next week, too, because I'm going to be on vacation, and I have no idea how I'm going to record.
Yeah, you're probably not going to. So it's just going to be me and Frank.
Yeah, it might be you and Frank with a little bit of a recap. Maybe I'll do a little voice memo, a little 10-minute. Yeah, maybe I'll call in. Maybe I'll call in with a little bit of some thoughts. Maybe I'll poise some questions for you guys, some topics for you guys to talk about. But okay. I don't think I'm going to be playing any golf either. So I think I might be on a little 2-week hiatus after this 75. Doesn't make a lot of sense, but
it's going to give me and Frank some time to catch up to you.
Yeah, let's go.
Sick. Wow.
All right.
Well, let's we'll leave him on the 19th and have a good vacation.